Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." The Lord, word of the Lord.
I am reading John 12, verses 1 through 8, on page 1300 in the Pew Bible. Bethany is a town near Jerusalem and in the West Bank. In ancient times, or Jesus' time, it was the site of an almshouse that took care of the poor and sick. 6 days before Passover, Jesus went back to Bethany, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. A meal had been prepared for Jesus. Martha was doing the serving, and Lazarus himself was there. Mary took a very expensive bottle of perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. She wiped them with her hair, and the sweet smell of the perfume filled the house. A disciple named Judas Iscariot was there. He was the one who was going to betray Jesus, and he asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" Judas did not really care about the poor. He asked this because he carried the money bag and sometimes would steal from it. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She has kept this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me." Here ends the word of the Lord.
We're gathered here because we believe in the God of liberation, a God of justice, a God who empowers. We believe in the God who listened to the Hebrew people and released them from their bondage and called them to be free. Unfortunately, as we go through life, we go through this process, reformed, always reforming, where our very best efforts constrain us, confine us, and they become the shackles that bind. We put our trust in programs. We put our trust in processes rather than in this life-giving God. Let's connect to our God today, listening deep, listening in. Let's pray. Gracious God, walk with us on this day as we deepen, as we listen, as we connect to your Son, Jesus Christ, allowing our hearts to be molded and shaped and made new, to be made fresh. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to have rituals in my life, things that I do on a daily basis, things that kind of, I'm going to take this off here, things that I like to do on a daily basis that keep me mindful, keep me attentive, keep me connected. I'll just turn this off. One of the things that I like to do as a daily ritual is to take a walk with my dogs. I've got two dogs. I've probably told you about them before. Tilly and Chase. They're Mutt and Jeff in the dog world. One's a big black dog named Tilly. Newfoundland Old English sheepdog mix. She's just this bounding energy full of love. My other dog's a little dog, Chase. And Chase is a little terrier. And like terrier, she's an ankle biter. She'll jump at you in a moment. But I love to go walking with my dogs, not only to get them exercise and fresh air that they need, but also for me. I need time just to get my steps in. I need time just to decompress, even at the beginning of the day. I need time just to think about All the things that I've got to do in my day, my list of things, my checklists of duties. How many of you have a checklist that you put together in your daily walk? Sure, we all do. We all got that checklist that maybe we're doing it when we're walking the dog. Maybe we do it when we're washing dishes. Others might do it when they're doing laundry. Well, sometimes at the corner of your eye, you see something that maybe connects you to a memory of a time or a place, a moment. Sometimes it can be like deja vu, where you've experienced it once before in your life. Well, I had that earlier this week, one of those moments where you kind of looked twice. You had to catch it again just to make sure you were seeing right, because you were flooded with emotion. You were flooded with memories. So I was walking Tilly and Chase through my neighborhood. I glanced over and looked twice at a package that was outside one of my neighbor's homes. It was a big box. And on the side of it, with lettering and with pictures, it was clear that this was an infant's bed, a baby's bed. Can you picture that kind of box, a baby's bed box? Has anybody opened up a baby's bed and had to put one of those things together? Ooh, boy, a flood of memories. A flood of memories of being in the wilderness, of being a new parent, and getting those instruction manuals. And with Hudson, when he was first born, we got a baby crib, a brand new one. We were so excited. We open it up, we get that instruction manual, and we open it up, and there's no real instructions, it's just pictures. It's only pictures about what you should do. And they're not even very good pictures. I'm not an artist, and I think I could have done better than this picture book. This was a baby's bed made from Sweden or some such place. And they decided not to do English. They decided, let's just do pictures. Well, I couldn't figure this thing out. I was bumbling and stumbling and getting the screws wrong, and it didn't come out too well. I had to call my friend Matt Wiebe. I don't know if I've told you about Matt Wiebe before, but Matt Wiebe is one of these Renaissance people who's an Alaskan fisherman, salmon fisherman. He's also works for a bicycle trade magazine, who also cooks the greatest chili you've ever had. He's kind of one of those people who can do anything. So he comes over and he looks at this manual and he deciphers it and he puts the bed together. Fortunately for Drew, when Drew was born, Drewy's bed, we made sure that the instruction manual was also in English, and I could even struggle through that. Memories of putting together the 1-2-3s of starting a new life. How about you? Have you ever had one of those instruction books for something that was opening up a door, that was opening up a new vista, that was opening up a new space for one of your dreams? And you open up that manual and you get the 1-2s and 3s, the A, B's, and C's, and it makes life not less complicated, but more complicated. You would think that a good manual, a good step-by-step program, would really help to get you through life. Whether it's putting together a baby bed, or buying a car, or getting a college loan, or how to invest in the stock market, or how to pick a doctor, or how to pick an insurance company, or what's the best retirement community to go to. You know, we all crave for these to-do lists that give you the agenda, the step-by-steps, where you can visualize where you're going. Something that you can put your trust in. Wouldn't that be a helpful thing to have in your life? That kind of to-do list. Speaking of a manual, I saw a movie this past week. A documentary film. I hope that some of you might have actually seen it. The documentary film was Apollo 11. Did anybody see it? You gotta rent it. The film is extraordinary. The film has no commentary per se, no background information. It just shows you in raw footage what was happening in July of 1969. It overlays audio with videos of what was happening, one of the most extraordinary events in all of history, landing a man on the moon. In 10 years, NASA built the systems and the rockets, the landing pads, and the lunar modules that enabled Neil Armstrong to step onto the moon and then to return safely. 10 years. 10 years to do all that. And during those 10 years, there was a process initiated, a staircase of information that had to be acquired or had to be invented. A process that would allow a human being to get from here up to there. Now, I am fascinated by NASA and by the lunar landing, in part because I think I've even mentioned this before. My grandfather was the highest ranking non-science officer at NASA. He was the deputy director, the third in charge, basically. He was responsible for the development and the initiation of all of the administrative systems that led to the development of NASA from July 1958. And during those early years under President Kennedy, he laid out a vision and a mission. This is what he said. We're going to put a man on the moon in how many years? 10 years. Could you imagine what the checklist would be like for that? Can you imagine? Well, my grandfather, he used to tell me all about the checklist. He developed it. He helped develop in pointing other people to acquire what they needed to do. And it's pretty straightforward, actually. They knew early on that even with a ton of gaps in their knowledge, that they had a checklist, get this, of 10,000 things that they had to do. They had 10,000 things that they had to do, and they had to do them right before they could get a man on the moon. 10,000 things. Now that's a checklist. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but my daily checklist has about 10 things on it, not 10,000 things. Checklists, and even the best of them can be overwhelming. Again, how many of you people have checklists out there? How many of you guys have a grocery list or a hardware list or a prayer list? What are the lists that you have? Even the best of them can very easily become overwhelming. Checklists, yeah, they can be helpful and very useful. But our checklists, I would proclaim on this day, they get in the way of the gospel. Did Jesus use checklists, do you think? Do you think he walked around with his bag? I think he probably had a bag on him. Do you think he had a bag and pulled out a little checklist of who he had to talk to each day? If there would have been an Office Depot back in Jesus' day, would Jesus have been a card-carrying member? Thanks be to God, I don't think so. The miracle of life is that it can't be boiled down, condensed down to a checklist. Not a checklist of 10 things or 10,000 things. The good news is not a plan or an instruction manual of the best practices in life. The how-tos of being a Christian. The good news is an invitation to be speaking with God. I was talking with a member of the church earlier this week, and we were talking about the parables of Jesus. And they were saying, Matt, you know, that one parable about the lost sheep and being the one lost sheep, you know, I just don't get it. I mean, I believe, but I just don't get it. Why would anybody in their right mind go back for that one lost sheep? It doesn't make any sense. And he's right. It doesn't make any sense. It's not good shepherding, is it? It's awful shepherding to go back for one sheep when you got 99 over here. It's a bad business plan. It's a bad modeling. It's bad shepherding. But that's what Jesus is sharing with us. Why? Because life isn't about best practices for leading a flock. Life is about love. Life is about relationship. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus, even with the best instruction manual in hand, is not going to leave you. Jesus is not going to leave you for lost. Jesus is going to come back for you, even if it doesn't make any sense. To be in relationship with Jesus means that every day is an opportunity to have your radar scanning about where is God today? Where is the Spirit leading me today? That's what life is about. That's what our approach to the cross is about. It's not a checklist of things that I gotta do. Okay, I gotta light the candle, I gotta kneel, I gotta hold my prayer stone, I gotta do, you know, go do good works for somebody else, I gotta help my neighbor, I gotta do all these things. But that's not what it's about. You gotta dial it back. Life is an invitation to be in relationship. Jesus in this, you know, story today, some people interpret to say that, well, there's time to do, you know, social justice. And there's a time not to. You know, even Jesus at this time, he says, you know, the poor are always going to be here, so you don't need to worry about the poor until I come back. Hogwash. Jesus isn't saying that. Jesus is not saying that the poor, that sometimes you can ignore the poor. No, what Jesus is saying is that you got to be in the moment. You got to be in the moment and responding with care and love and allowing the Spirit to connect you. You can't just have this checklist that tells you what to do. Judas, you know, I feel sympathy for him so much. He's so human. He's so like so many people I know. He's somebody who's practical, and he's trying to follow the checklist. And yeah, he's greedy, but he's trying to follow a checklist. And Jesus isn't doing it. So he feels let down. Does Jesus not love Judas? You know, one of the things that we oftentimes do to make these stories of Jesus, the stories that we have in the book of John or Luke, Mark, or Matthew, is we try to make them intelligible. We try to say, well, there's a good person and there's a bad person in the story. Who's the good person? Who's the bad person? Well, Mary is the good person, right? Because she lays everything out as an offering. She knows who the master is. And Judas, is he the bad person? Ooh, everybody boo. Boo. Judas is the bad person. Is that what we're supposed to take from this story? That somehow Mary is good and Judas is bad and therefore you should do this and not do this? Aren't we right away forming another checklist in our head? Do this, don't do that. Oh, this is confusing stuff. But you know what I think the grace is? Coming back to the good news. The good news is that Jesus loves Judas just as much as he loves Mary. He's going to go after Judas because who is Judas? Judas is that one lost sheep that's out there. It's all by himself and is being really greedy and doesn't want to cross over that river. But Jesus is going to leave the 99 Marys and the Marthas and the Lazaruses to make sure that Judas gets back home. That's the good news. This table is not a to-do list. You can't, it's not like you have to come here and do X, Y, or Z to come to this table. No, you are loved. Each of you are loved by Jesus. And that's the good news. And you don't have to do anything except to inch your way forward and to say, I'm open to what God might be doing in my life. I'm open to how God might invite me into relationship with new friends and old friends and do something new. God is going to do something new, and it's not about a checklist. It's not about a checklist. Today, this is your homework today. If you're hearing it, if you're feeling it, if you're following this invitation to follow Jesus, I have one thing for you to do. Don't look at your checklist the rest of the day. Let those checklists go. This is Sabbath. This is the time. I love this image of Jesus. He's lounging with his friends. He's lounging with Lazarus, who was just dead 4 days ago. He's with Mary and with Martha. He's with his friends celebrating life. Today is not a day to look at your watch. I didn't wear a watch today because I had to live this message myself. I am so consumed with keeping appointments and doing things and doing this and doing that. Throw it away for this day. We got to be responsible, I know. But on this day, call up an old friend and just explore hearing how they're doing. Take the time to really listen to them and get behind what they're saying. Call a relative, a daughter or a son, a cousin, an aunt. Check in with them. Make sure that they're doing okay. Maybe even just open yourself to taking one of those walks that I took earlier this week. And maybe just out of the corner of your eye, as you got your radar scanning, you'll be drawn in by something that you delight in. At the end of the day, it's not about rules and a rule books, agendas and action plan. The life of faith is a life of wonder. Live that wonder on this day. Live it and love it and know that God delights in you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks on this day. The gospel of Jesus must be heard, but it's not to be managed. The gospel of Jesus cannot be contained. This is what Mary knows, and this is what you want everyone to know. You know that the gospel is about loving Jesus in this moment, and so we commit ourselves on this day to love one another as you love us, through the love of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who invites us deeper and deeper into communion and life together. Amen.